My back killed me.
This is Madge here trying to speak centrally so that I don't annoy Rob Pickle, even though it doesn't care anymore because he found a shortcut so that every time I talk, he turns it on this accessibility mode for autistic people so that it makes it mono and he doesn't get annoyed by me going like this or like this or like this. I don't understand why, if he's autistic, well, he has the Asperger's version, which is supposed to mean you're really smart, so how come you're not more successful in your career, Rob? That's what I'd like to know. Pickle. What about Mary Trump's book? How about that? I didn't read it, of course. I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to and I wasn't tempted to. But the thing is, it's all stuff we already knew. His father hated him, so he's a narcissist. I don't know, the way she blames his father, Trump's father, for his sort of horribleness. I don't know, who cares? But Dave Weiner says, Trump may be psycho, his father never loved him, so what? All that matters at this point is Trump is our enemy. And he's bitching to open the schools. What a fucking psycho, really. Yeah, I mean, it does matter that he's a psycho because he's emptying. He's, like, made an ultimatum. He's just a horrible, horrible person. It's terrible that he's that horrible because it's forcing everyone to vote for Biden, which, you know, really anybody. John McCain would be amazing compared to Biden. Practically the same thing, another neoliberal. The problem is, neoliberalism is what gave us Trump. So, it's a band-aid. Not even a very good one. It's like one of those generic band-aids that, you know, doesn't even stick good. And then we'll have Kanye West as president. It's going to be horrible. I hope you're having a better day than me, audience, talking about all this shit. I drink my coffee in front of the Stan's Donuts. And there's a truck across the street. I don't want to sit here because I hate that kind of noise. I'm sure Rob Pickle hates it too. But I don't want to stand because I'm holding my coffee. I may stand after I drink my coffee because I don't want you to have to hear this truck noise the whole time. The horrible noise. Oh, I made a nice video. If you look at my YouTube channel, Insane Films, I made an unboxing of my HEPA filter. It's called Medify Air is the brand. I made an unboxing of it at work. Yes, third day. I got a filter, you know. I was recommended by my friend Stacey Herbert of the Kaiser Report. She said, buy this one, Madge, it's good. It's a small HEPA filter for my office. But then people say it doesn't work. That's not going to get rid of the COVID. But you know what, it makes me feel better. I feel, because office air is disgusting, and at least I feel better about it. You know, I mean, it doesn't do anything, maybe. But I think it does, because it has a lot of numbers and charts on the box and on the website. Anyway, it's probably the worst unboxing you've ever seen. It's certainly the worst I've ever seen. So get a Medify Air unboxing on YouTube, I guess is how you search for it. I might post it on this feed, too. I don't really know, but I might. I might do that. I might. Yeah. Well, I thought the Andrew Cuomo podcast was finished, but he keeps doing these sporadic press conferences once or twice a week, so I have to add to it when I see them, when I get an alert. The funny thing is that sometimes I'll see the Cuomo podcast pop up and I'll say, oh, well, there's another episode, and then I realize there's another episode because I posted it. You know what I mean? I forget that that's me. I mean, it's also Dave Weiner. I just send him the recording and he puts it on the feed. It's a nice little collaboration. I didn't do it because I like Andrew Cuomo, though I do like his press conferences. I know he's against a lot of my issues, but he seems like, I just like, he said, just listen to it. If you go to the, I don't know how to find it, I guess, I don't know how to find it. Because when I search for it, I get a lot of, what's his stupid brother's name? Not Andrew. Hold on, I got a fart. Whatever that, oh, Cuomo, not Mario, that was his father, Chris Cuomo. I get a lot of his, I like Christopher Columbus, his shit, but I think you go to this.how/Cuomo. I don't know, just Google it, fucking find it. That's not my problem, is it? So, yeah, but I just like the way he talks about, he makes a lot of sense when he talks about COVID. I know he fucked up with welfare reform and jails. I mean, you know, I know all that, okay? And he doesn't support Medicare for all. You know, he's not running for president. I just like the way he talks about this shit. That's not why I did it originally. I just did it because I thought it'd be cool to do something to help Dave Weiner, because I think, though we've had issues in the past, I just think he's fucking brilliant, and he's done so much for the internet. He essentially invented RSS, and he's, you know, essentially invented podcasting because of that, and he's just a great mind. And I thought, what a great thing to help somebody like that out. And then I started listening to it, and I'm like, well, this guy makes a lot of sense, Cuomo, with the shit. Certainly compared to Trump, anyway. And now they say it causes the brain cancer, which is fun. Brain cancer, yay. Yay, brain cancer for the COVID and lung damage. They don't talk about whether it's permanent or not, but it's pretty clear it is. But they don't use the P word. They don't use that. The P word, permanent. Oh, good, the brick truck is leaving. Maybe I can sit here a little longer. I got a meeting at 9, I got a meeting at 9:30, I got a meeting at 10. I don't know when I'm going to have time to post this, I guess lunch. How am I going to do yoga at lunch if I got to post this shit? There's a garbage truck. I wish there was a way to get rid of garbage that wasn't so fucking noisy. I wonder if Asperger's people like Pickle, do you get annoyed by garbage trucks too, like I do? What about people chewing? Does misophonia work with that thing you have with the stereo thing? I want to know. Not really. I just want somebody to have a dialogue with on this fucking blog. YeastRadio.com is my website shit. I've totally rebooted everything. Got rid of my social media groups for this shit. Though there's still a Discord for Yeast Radio. I'm not going to make it anything to do with pay anymore. It's there. I'd like to get it moving a little bit again since I don't do golden circles anymore. But if you want an invitation to the Discord, by all means, I will send you one. No conditions, except unless you're somebody I've blocked, like that horrible Fablo who works in men's suits at a major department store, even though I don't know how in God's name he can sell a suit with that body. Anyway, he's just so hateful that I have to delete his comments because he's just a horrible things that he says about people on the show. And me, mostly, honestly. This horrible person. He's just horrible. Speaking of free speech, though. Wait, was I done talking about that horrible? I just gave him attention, which is terrible. But... yeah... I saw the lady from one of my fellow condo board members, and she waved at me, and it kind of distracted me because she always yells at me when I'm not wearing a mask. And I wasn't wearing a mask because I'm not going to record this. I'm sitting on a bench with social distance, so I don't wear a mask when I record this. I've tried that. It's horrible. This one like this. I ain't going to do that. I risk my COVID for you, audience. Anyway. So I'm starting to feel shocked. But she always wears the same goddamn mask. She never fucking washes it, I can tell. Can you imagine how that thing smells? I have I wear surgical masks sometimes, but I prefer to wear my N99 valve mask. But it's starting to really fucking stink. It smells like... I mean, I brush my teeth twice a day. Like, I guess that's the right amount. But it fucking... My breath... It smells. It's like... And it didn't smell like breath. It just fucking smells. I guess it's time to wash it. So there's that. I love that mask, though, because it really cleans the air. I wrote it. So I've been... So I went my first day back to work yesterday. And I, that is a cute little dog. And I, that is so cute. Looks like a little Spitz. I went my first day back to work. I rode my bike. And so on the bike, especially on the way back, it's not so much the social distance, because I feel like there's plenty of social distance on the bike. But on the way back, when I first get out of town, get out of the loop, as we call it here in downtown Chicago, is called the loop, because it's a loop of trains around a bunch of buildings. And when you first get out, there's a lot of bikes, and there's a lot of traffic, and there's a lot of pollution. So I'm wearing this N99 mask just to filter that out. It's very nice. It's hard to get used to. But even before pandemics, there were some bikers I'd see wearing those masks, and I thought, wonder what that's about. And again, my favorite germaphobe, Stacey Herbert, is the one that suggested it. So I got this mask. It took me months. It was a fucking back order. This company is on back order for years, called Cambridge Mask Company, out of England. And you might want to check out their masks. They're really good. They're those valve masks. I know some people frown upon them because, you know, it blows your air out or something. But it's nice, and it has these, like, loops. You know how, like, if you get a North Face jacket... I have a North Face windbreaker kind of thing. And it has these little loops that tighten on the bottom to make it tight around your vagina or your waist. Well, it has those for your chins. So it lets... It's very... You can fine-tune how tight it is around your chins. And really good at keeping the air out, you know? It's nice. I do like that mask a lot. So it's kind of like a filtered... I guess it's kind of like a filtered N95. I mean, with an air gap. But you can reuse it. And you can breathe through it. It's not like an N95, where it's like you feel like you're suffocating. It's not like that at all. I mean, it's not as easy to breathe as a hospital mask, but it does more. A hospital mask is just basically to be polite and not get your germs on other people, I think. It's 8:04 a.m. I hate these fucking meetings. My boss tells me I need a break to take a time off work. Okay. So that guy who was the bird watcher in New York. So they arrested that lady, that Karen lady who called the police on the bird watcher in New York, who's probably really gay cruising. But they're replying to a tweet. Am I recording? I have to make sure I'm recording, and I was, you know. But so they called the cops on her. They arrested her, pressed charges or something. And then the guy who she called the cops on, the birdwatcher, said, "No, I'm not gonna cooperate with the police." Birdwatcher declines to cooperate with police in case against white woman who called the police on him. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I agree with him. I mean, she got fired from her job. She was ostracized. Does she really need the police? And then this wonderful person, what is her name? Oh, God. I'm so bad with names. Prison culture. Let me see. Prison. I always get her mixed up with Alex Jones' Prison Planet. Not a good thing. She said something really wonderful. Prison culture on Twitter. I don't know if she's locked. I don't know. I think you can still follow her if she's locked. I mean, you can still read her if she's locked. You just can't follow her, maybe. I don't know how that works when you're locked, but she got locked and unlocked. But she's become like a... She started off like a prison abolitionist. Now she's kind of morphing into like a police abolitionist because because of the movement. Oh, God. I wish I could find this tweet. But basically, she says she was just kind of despondent, like, why people are so into... Why people get so excited when somebody goes to jail or gets arrested. I mean, and this is universal, it's not a Republican thing, like when Ghislaine Maxwell got arrested, everybody's so excited, or Harvey Weinstein, or any of these financial people, or pretty much anyone goes to jail, it's like there's this massive, yay, goody, goody. Let me see if I can find it. Oh my God, so much awful shit in the news. Oh, here it is, I found it. Oh, there goes Poppers. We call him Poppers because he manages a gap. And once we were at a bar and he just was so drunk, he just kept going to everyone in the bar. You got Poppers? You got Poppers? You got Poppers? You got Poppers? In a bar. Like, what? You need your asshole loose? And then we were also discussing, me and my life partner, we were discussing, like, nail salons. Like, nail salons smell like Poppers. And we were wondering, like, do people at work... Oh, fuck me. So loud. That's nice. Do people who work in nail salons have really loose assholes because of the poppers they're breathing in all day? Either they just have really loose assholes? I'm just wondering. And also, do poppers loosen your vagina or just your asshole? Asking for a friend. Let's see here. Okay, so Prison Culture wrote on Twitter, I don't know how we're going to uproot the social conditioning that pushes people in this country to celebrate arrests, prosecutions, and imprisonment. It's so damn ingrained, people revel in it. I just don't know. I agree with that sentiment. And then there's this whole business about all that those PPP loans, the money that went to the Paycheck Protection Program that happened with this huge $1.5 billion stimulus plan they did a few months ago for Corona. And, you know, people... $1 trillion, I think. And, you know, a lot of people warned that it was stupid, including me, of course, because it's a giveaway. You know, they gave every American $1,200 a month to basically as hush money to not complain about all the billions they gave away to people who don't need it. It was supposed to be for companies who had to close during pandemic, small companies like bars and restaurants, to sort of get them through the time so they could still pay people. But in fact, it went to fucking rich-ass motherfuckers. Let me read what Peter Schiff wrote, who's a big financial guy. Asset management firms like mine were not shut down. Our employees worked from home. None of our revenue stopped coming in, and soaring asset prices actually resulted in more revenue after COVID-19 than before. The PPP money merely added to the windfall. It was a total fraud. A total fucking fraud. Let's see what else they have. Oh, this is a song that I went to work yesterday, and this is the song. Help fight the spread of COVID-19 with a song. Wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds while you sing along. It's gonna take you a lot to drag you away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. And I bless the rains down in Africa / gonna take time to do all the things we never had. I don't think that's long enough. But that was a sign anyway. And then it says, be a blank, where blank is the company name, hero. Like, all you have to do is, I wouldn't call it washing your hands necessarily heroic, but okay. Anyway, that's a work thing. People have to, that just means somebody has a job that kind of needs to be more busy. I'm not talking about myself. Here's from the Wall Street Journal. Pandemic loan recipients include well-heeled firms, prominent law firms, wealth managers, and politically connected businesses were among the recipients of $521 billion in government loans and a program designed to help small businesses weather the coronavirus pandemics. A list of some of the borrowers under the Paycheck Protection Program was released by the Trump administration for the first time Monday, following pressure by Congress and others to disclose who received the loans. On the list, Boies Schiller Flexner LLP, the law firm headed by high-profile antitrust litigator David Boies, Newsmax Media Inc., the media company run by Trump donor Christopher Ruddy, and an Indianapolis service provider to charities part-owned by Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. So did P.F. Chang, so did big real estate investors, etc., etc. Such a huge fraud. And this is disaster capitalism. This is people taking advantage of disaster. Then I have other people. I hear other people saying, oh, well, COVID's fake because all these people are making money from it. And it's kind of like the chicken and the egg. Yes, people are practicing fraud in order to milk money from the COVID crisis, which is obscene. But that does not... I don't understand the jump from just making that mean that COVID itself is a fraud. That's ridiculous. Here's a tweet from Raven Justice. What COVID and racism have in common? People don't believe that they exist if they haven't been affected by it personally. And then I got an email from the Biden campaign. Who do you want for VP? And it shows a list of all these women. My said, my choice is Medicare for All for VP. Okay. McConnell's wife, here, this is from Newsweek. McConnell's wife's family business appears on the Trump's admin's list of companies that received most PPP money. Elaine Chao. Oh, my God. It's just so fucking corrupt forever. Forever. Gay dating app Grindr was approved for $1 million to $2 million loan for small business suffering from the pandemic. Jesus. See, that's... Grindr did not lose business because of this. I mean, maybe they lost some hookups, but they... Their people all get to work from home. Give me a break. Let's see what else. Anything else good? Kanye West. Trump's small business rescue bailed out Kushner's family, Obama aides, and other political elite. And that's from Daily Beast. So this is nonpartisan. This is just a complete scam of people in power. It's fucking disgusting. It's fucking disgusting. And then lastly, you know, I wanted to read this letter from in Harper's that was a big deal on the Twitters yesterday. Let me find it. Let's see. Yeah. So Stacey wrote in reply to that thing about the guy, the birdwatcher, not participating in the prosecution of the Karen who, you know, whatever, attempted to assassinate him. She writes, Americans are so prone to puritanical hysterias Americans are so prone to puritanical hysteria and really hate the notion of redemption and forgiveness. We need to learn that in order to save ourselves from whatever this is that is sweeping the nation. And that goes back to what I was about to read. I don't know if I'm going to read the whole thing because I'm so bad at reading. But I kind of want to, this Harper's article. So this was very controversial. This big letter that was signed on to by Noam Chomsky and several other people. And the people that signed it are really just from all kinds of different places. Let me see if I can find it. Signed by 153 prominent people, and ranging from J.K. Rowling to Noam Chomsky, and a lot of like neoconservatives on there. And I see so much of the criticism is about the people who signed it, and not about the letter itself, which to me isn't really something. It's kind of obvious, so I'm just going to read this. Our cultural institutions are facing a moment of trial. Powerful protests for racial and social justice are leading to overdue demands for police reform, along with wider calls for greater equality and inclusion across our society, not least in higher education, journalism, philanthropy, and the arts. But this needed reckoning has also intensified a new set of moral attitudes and political commitments that tend to weaken our norms of open debate and toleration of differences in favor of ideological conformity. As we applaud the first development, we also raise our voices against the second. The forces of illiberalism are gaining strength throughout the world and have a powerful ally in Donald Trump, who represents a real threat to democracy. But the resistance must not allow to harden into its own brand of dogma or coercion, which right-wing demagogues are already exploiting. The democratic inclusion we want can only be achieved if we speak out against the intolerant climate that has set in on all sides. The free exchange of information and ideas, the lifeblood of a liberal society, is daily becoming more constricted. While we have come to expect this on the radical right, censoriousness is also spreading more widely in our culture. An intolerance of opposing views, a vogue for public shaming and ostracism, and the tendency to dissolve complex policy issues in a blinding moral certainty. We uphold the value of robust and even caustic counterspeech from all quarters. But it is now all too common to hear calls for swift and severe retribution in response to perceived transgressions of speech and thought. More troubling still, institutional leaders, in a spirit of panicked damage control, are delivering hasty and disproportionate punishments instead of considered reforms. Editors are fired for running controversial pieces. Books are withdrawn for alleged inauthenticity. Journalists are barred from writing on certain topics. Professors are investigated for quoting works of literature in a class. A researcher is fired for circulating a peer-reviewed academic study. And the heads of organizations are ousted for what are sometimes just clumsy mistakes. Whatever the arguments around each particular incident, the result has been to steadily narrow the boundaries of what can be said without the threat of reprisal. We are already paying the price in greater risk aversion among writers, artists, and journalists who fear for their livelihoods if they depart from the consensus or even lack sufficient zeal in agreement. This stifling atmosphere will ultimately harm the most vital causes of our time. The restriction of debate, whether by a repressive government or an intolerant society, invariably hurts those who lack power and makes everyone less capable of democratic participation. The way to defeat bad ideas is by exposure, arguments, and persuasion, not by trying to silence or wish them away. We refuse any false choice between justice and freedom, which cannot exist without each other. As writers, we need a culture that leaves us room for experimentation, risk-taking, and even mistakes. We need to preserve the possibility of good faith disagreement without dire professional consequences. If we won't defend the very thing on which our work depends, we shouldn't expect the public or the state to defend it for us. And so, I mean, I really agree with that. You know, somebody made the point to me, and it's a valid point and worth discussing. Let me find it. Let me find this fucking thing. Then I'm going to go because I got to go back to work and deal with shit. Somebody made the point. Wait, I got to find it. Sorry. So busy on Twitter. Shit. I don't know. Anyway, I can't find it. But anyway, somebody made the point, well, but free speech, you know, doesn't work on bigots and bullies and Nazis. My response is, you know, and I kind of see the point with that, though I don't agree with it, because the problem is, who decides who's a bully? It's easy with a Nazi. If you have a Nazi flag, okay, you're bad, you don't get free speech. I get that. But when you say somebody who maybe, I don't know, I don't have a good example, like maybe you think Gone with the Wind was a good movie and shouldn't be banned, and maybe somebody thinks that's cancelable, or one of these people who thinks that, you know, like J.K. Rowling is a good example, like she thinks that trans is biological, has no biological basis or whatever. So that person's a bigot. But who decides who's a bigot? You know? It's this gray area, because right now who decides is basically the algorithms at Twitter and Facebook decide, and the masses of people, and not just the masses, but how those masses get filtered to the top. And I really like what that letter says about people without power having a voice, because I'm a person without power and I have a small voice, but my voice is very much in danger of getting silenced. It has been silenced. The reason I'm not popular is because I'm in permacancel. When I lost my job with Mevio, I was getting paid a lot of money to do this show on the radio. When they called me to fire me, they said, literally, from Starbucks, Ron Bloom told me, Procter & Gamble won't sponsor you. You know, and it's just all the system. It's all the fucking system. You know, and that may be a private company doing it. They have every right to, but cancel culture stops voices like me. And then there's this retort from the cancel culture people saying there's no such thing as cancel culture, but there's so many examples of it. I want to compile all this. Anyway, I guess that's all I have for now. I have to go to work, and I hope you all have a very nice day, depending on what time of day it is. And I need to, work. Bye. Bye, honey. Oh, if you want to send me money, $bloatedlesbian and Cash App would be so wonderful. Or just go to yeastradio.com/donate for other means. Or you don't have money, I want participation and reaction just so I know people are listening. That's the most important thing to me, even more than money. Send me a comment on yeastradio.com would be great. That's the best thing. I love that. Or send me a comment on Bloated Lesbian. You can email me a WAV file or an MP3 rather, bloatedlesbian@gmail. I read all my emails, unless they go into my junk folder or I hate you. And Twitter, Bloated Lesbian. Instagram, Madge Weinstein. And what else was I finch turds? Oh yeah, Firm Uterus is the phone number. Have a nice whatever is left of your starting or your day and stuff. Bye. Eat it.
Either that or I'll go over and hold it stiff for you.